Welcome to Season 5 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about thinking. Thoughts are spiritual events, and they set the direction and determine the destiny of your life. So put on your thinking cap, because this season of the Food for Your Soul podcast is all about thinking, logic, discernment, and being transformed by the renewal of your mind.
My face in the mirror isn't wrinkled or drawn. My house isn't dirty and the cobwebs are gone. My garden looks lovely and so does my lawn. I think I might never put my glasses back on. Now that little poem is really profound when you think about the point that it's making. When we don't understand the reality of the way things are, usually it's not because of an inability to reason. Usually it's because of a prejudice against the truth. Isn't that true? So when we can't understand things, more often it's not because we can't reason or think, but because of a prejudice against the truth. We don't want to believe something, and so we refuse to put our glasses back on. We refuse to look at it clearly. It's a blindness that results from a lack of desire to want to see the truth. I mean, how many girls have you known that have dated some guy that treats them like absolute garbage and just everyone else can see it and they can't see it? I mean, how often does that happen? That's the way we all tend to behave in areas where we don't want to look at the truth. And it happens in relationships, it happens in finances, it happens in politics, it happens in religion, science, every area of life. We can't see the truth that's right in front of our face because of invalid reasoning, and our reasoning is invalid not because we lack intelligence, but because we're afraid of what we'll see if we just put our glasses back on. That's why otherwise intelligent scientists will cling to evolution. That's why people remain in self-contradictory religions. So, you need to have a bias towards the good. And the other side of that is verse 22 of 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, avoid every kind of evil. Have a bias for the good and against the evil. We are to have one response towards evil, and that is to shun it. And I'm always amazed when I will point out to somebody rank heresy in somebody's book or in their teaching. They'll say, oh, I like so-and-so preacher or whatever author. And I say, hey, look, here's what they teach. Total heresy. Denying the fundamentals of Christianity. And then they say, okay, I'm going to still read that person. I'm going to still listen to that person. And I'll just sort it out. I'll ignore the bad and pay attention to the good. That is not the biblical response we're to have towards evil. We're not told to sift through evil. We're told to shun it. I mean, even the worst heretic in the world, worst false teacher in the world, has some truth mixed in with his error. That's the way he gets people to listen. And the test of a teacher isn't, is there some truth here? The question is there some error here? And anyone who teaches doctrines that are opposed to the essentials of the gospel should be ignored as a rule of thumb. We tend, I think, to overestimate our ability to spot error. Error is like poison. It mixes in. And you mix poison in with a glass of water, and it doesn't matter how pure the water was that you started with. Once the poison is mixed in, it's poisonous and should be avoided. One of the most common errors of those who have been exposed to Christianity all around the world, in our culture and everywhere else in the world, is syncretism. Syncretism is when you take Christianity and mix it with another religion. That happens all over the world. I mean, you go to a place where there are spirits, you know, they believe that there are spirits and animals, and they worship those spirits, and they have to appease those spirits and the animals through rituals, and that's their religion. And then a missionary comes and tells them about Christianity, and sometimes they want to develop a mix, and they come up with a religion, so instead of offering sacrifices to appease the spirits in the animals, they'll take communion to ward off the spirits and the animals. See, they just mix the two together. Now, obviously, syncretism is not Christianity any more than what they were doing before is Christianity. God calls people away from their false religion to Him. And I mention that because it's a danger in every culture, including ours. In our culture, we have some entrenched pagan ideologies, such as evolution and worldly psychological theories and things like that. And we face the danger of syncretism. We've come up with a name for it that's not so, doesn't have any stigma attached to it, and the name is integration. And when I went to Denver Seminary, that was the big word, integration. Integrating worldly wisdom with biblical wisdom. And in many cases, it ended up being not integration, but just plain syncretism. So, a few quick points about how to become more discerning. Number one, pray for discernment. Proverbs 2:3, if you call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding. If you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. It's not something that will come easy. It's not something that will come if you just ask once in a while for it. It's something that requires a passionate search. Number two, discern discerning leaders. Right? Discern your leaders. Don't follow an undiscerning leader. Follow a discerning leader. Don't place yourself under the leadership of leaders who are themselves tossed back and forth by every wind of teaching that comes along. Third, keep growing. Don't ever get lazy. We talked before about the importance, the incredible importance of that. Make sure you're continually being challenged. This is the way you grow spiritually. You should always be being challenged. There should always be some degree of discomfort with your spiritual life. We're not to live our lives dominated by anxiety, but there should always be some degree of anxiety over your spiritual deficiencies. And they shouldn't always be the same. They shouldn't be the exact same thing as they were 6 years ago. I mean, there should be some progress. So keep growing. And then fourth, obey the truth. And this is just so important. The chapter that tells us about Solomon's request for wisdom, you know, where he could have anything he wanted and he chose wisdom and he was commended for that? That chapter is also the same chapter that tells about his marrying the daughter of Pharaoh and forming a marriage alliance with Egypt. And as a result of that, we find him offering sacrifices to idols in the high places. He knew better, but he tolerated compromise. Refusal to obey will override even the most powerful abilities of discernment. And that's just so important to understand. So, think this week of what causes your eyes to be double-minded rather than singular in their focus. What is it about the world that sort of bends your will out of alignment with the truth and pulls your bias the wrong way? Search your life and ask the Lord to reveal any sin that does that. And see if there's some earthly thing, money or career or house or car or prestige or recreation or status, whatever, that skews your hearing when you read God's Word. Maybe your sense of taste is out of whack. You know, maybe you taste the milk of the Word and it's not all that sweet to your taste because your taste buds have been fouled up by all the junk food that you've been taking in through the TV or whatever. Or maybe your sense of vision is messed up. Maybe you're nearsighted and spiritual things are out of focus because your pupils are focused straight on the ground, on earthly things. Let me close with this quote from Jonathan Edwards. As a young man, he said this. He says, I had then, and at other times, the greatest delight in the Holy Scriptures of any book whatsoever. Oftentimes in reading it, every word seemed to touch my heart. I felt a harmony between something in my heart and those sweet and powerful words. I seemed often to see so much light exhibited by every sentence and such a refreshing food communicated that I could not get along in reading, often dwelling long on one sentence to see the wonders contained in it. And yet almost every sentence seemed to be full of wonders. Ask, what is it in your life that may be preventing you from having that kind of bias towards the good?
Thank you for listening. We pray you're finding this season helpful. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Just go to the treasuringgod.com website and click on Contact. There's also a giving tab on that site. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.